Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, Father, how blessed we are to be able to gather in your name and the freedom that we have in this nation. And whether we have freedom from the nation or not, we always have the freedom to get away from the world and draw near to you. But to be able to do it in a group is wonderful. And so we thank you for these Saturday mornings. And Lord, as we look at these familiar passages, so familiar, we tend to not really consider them other than just the surface. Oh, I know that one. So as we look through a few verses today, I think we'll look at about 9 verses. Help us to glean what you would have for us and to remind us to really have our lives reflecting these verses and not just academically thinking, yeah, I understand that, I know that, there isn't any part of that I don't understand, but do we really live it, Lord? And so even last week we were talking about do not love the world or the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the pride of the eyes, the lust of the eyes. And Lord, as I think back over this last week, some areas where I would start to get interested in the world and recognizing that's not going any place. And as soon as we flip on the news, that's just exactly where we go if we stay there very long. And now the pipe bomber and this and that, and there's always these stories that are kind of intriguing, but they don't go anywhere. And Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you, to be aware of what's going on around, certainly, but not to spend time in these worthless details of what fills the airwaves so much of the time. So today we want to look at truth, abiding in you, and we want to look at the children of God a little bit. And so fill our ears with faith as we hear your familiar words. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to do these 9 verses. I thought we would read them, and we'll read them alternatively this morning, and I'll read the first verse, and then if you'll come in on alternating verses, that would be fine. And I'm going to stand. You can sit if you want, but whatever you feel comfortable doing, the Word of God. So verse 24, chapter 2 of 1 John, therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father.
And this is the promise he has promised us, eternal life.
These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you.
But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him.
And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming.
If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him.
1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him.
Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Father, we thank you for this precious word, these precious words, and continue to have them come into our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. Beautiful to hear you reading these scriptures. Just like a symphony of voices, kind of. Well, verse 24, we have abiding in that verse three times. So I guess abiding is kind of important. In fact, in today's nine verses, we have abiding six times. And we have abiding in the first epistle, I think, 20 times. And in the whole Bible, it's about 60 times. So we got a lot of abiding in here today. So if you can relate to abiding, then we have some of these verses covered. And we read, therefore, let that abide, meaning to permanently adhere, or it's like welded together. You can't separate it. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Well, what did we hear from the beginning? Well, we've heard from the beginning that God is love, basically. Mm-hmm. That he created us in his image because he wanted fellowship with us. And if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, is that abiding in me? Is that abiding in you? We had back in chapter 1, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and Antichrist. And so finishing that verse, it says, you also, well, let me read it again. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Amazing, isn't it? That is the criteria, and if we do that, we will abide in the Son and in the Father. And turning that around, what did Jesus say to us in John 14:23? Such an important verse, powerful verse. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and abide in him, or make our home in him. So just think about that. That is so amazing. There's not any of us that doesn't want Jesus in our heart, right? Well, is he not abiding in my heart? If he's not, it's because there's too much stuff in there. There's too much world in there. There's too much self in there. There's too much sin in there. There's too much closets being filled that should be cleaned out, so to speak. And so we have here, if we love him, we will keep my word. And so it's so easy to say, oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus with all my heart. And then I find myself not keeping his word. I find myself drifting off of what I know is really his way, and I want to do my way. Then the next verse, this is the promise that he promised to us. Now notice this. This is really something when you think it through, as you do. What is that promise? What is the promise that he has promised us? Eternal life. Now, anytime you see a Muslim, anytime you see a Hindu, anytime you see a Buddhist, anytime you see anything, cult, anything, this verse doesn't apply to them as far as eternal life with him. Yes, they will exist eternally. But we don't call it living if we're apart from God. Everybody will be existing eternally. We're made in the image of God, right? So just think, you have a choice of eternally being with him or eternally being apart from him. Those are the only two choices. So that is the promise, that if we love him, if we have given ourselves over to him, if we have surrendered to him, believed in him, he has promised us eternal life. And of course, we know that 25-word verse is which one of the best in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave His only begotten Son, that what? Whoever, it means anyone, whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal, the same word, Ionios, should have everlasting life. So this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. And then in the next verse, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. So here's the third reason, really, we could say, for John writing this epistle, that we would not be deceived. Now, how do we keep from being deceived? Well, being in His Word, obviously. But we also know that we have an anointing. We had that last time given to us. We have an anointing of the Spirit, and I think we talked about that as being unction, or it means a smearing, a kind of a thing, like we smear oil on a person when we anoint with oil. So it's the anointing. It's a special endowment, if you want to put it that way. A special endowment, and it enables us to continue in the truth. You can listen just a few seconds, probably, or a few minutes, depending on how much errant teaching is going on that you're listening to. But all of a sudden, the Spirit will just grab you and say, that's not right. That's not in accordance with the Word of God. Oh, yeah, that's what the world says, but that's not in accordance with the Word of God. So that's what the anointing does for us, doesn't it? It separates us from being deceived. The abiding and the anointing. Now, we know that Jesus said in John 14, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. Think of that. You got the Holy Spirit abiding with you forever. Isn't that great? Yeah, the Spirit came up on me one time. I felt that. Yeah, it was great for 30 seconds. No, He hides in you forever, is what the Bible tells us. Now, He won't overwhelm you. He won't beat you over the head continually. But as soon as you call on Him and ask for His help, He will help you, right? He is our helper. That's what Jesus said He is. He is our helper, teaching us to abide in Christ. John 16, 13, continuing in that subject. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Oh, listen to the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. Now we change tune a little bit, or these next couple of verses, and kind of looking at the children of God, because we're going to be talking about little children. Once again, verse 28 reads, and now little children, back to abiding again. Now, little children, abide in Him, that. Why do you abide with Him? Well, here's one reason. That when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Are you ready for His coming? If you're not, when are you going to get ready? The disciples were looking for His coming 2,000 years ago. They thought it was that close. And a lot of people, every generation has looked for that. In their generation, I believe that the way the Lord wants the church to be ready. But we know one thing, we're 1 week closer than we were last Saturday when we met. Yes. We're 2,000 years closer than when this was written. And if it isn't today, it's going to be tomorrow. And if it isn't tomorrow, it's the day after. You know, we can go on down a little bit. It'll be one day, right? And we're either going to all go up in the same plane, so to speak, in the rapture, or we'll go up one at a time. But, you know, the destination is precisely the same, right? So, and once we get there, it's not going to matter who you came with. Well, I mean, in a way it does, but you're not going to say, oh, that was a class of 2025, December 6th, that just came in off the plane. I mean, we're out of time. It's now. It's now. It'll all be now then. I don't understand how that works, but it's going to be now. Verse 29, if you know, here's a one way regarding righteousness. How are you with righteousness? Verse 29 says, if you know that He is righteous. Do you know that? Do you know that He is righteous? Yes, you know that He is right. How do you know? By experience? Yes, but really? You know intuitively that he's righteous because it's revealed to you that he's righteous, right? If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices, do you practice righteousness? Everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. You can't practice righteousness if you're not of him. But if you are of him, then you should not be practicing unrighteousness, right? Everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Later in the next chapter, well, this chapter, we're almost done with it, but in chapter 3, verse 10, we read, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." So here it is again. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are revealed. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So now we got another wrinkle thrown in there, loving your brother. So you can practice righteousness, but if you hate everybody, hating your brother, of course you can't be righteous really, but you are not practicing righteousness. Now moving on to chapter 3. Now there's no chapter break in this letter. You know, we got 100 verses here. It's one letter. It wasn't sent in 5 different envelopes, so to speak. Well, you had last week's letter down here. Of course, that's the way we're doing it. So, but we have a hard time getting through 9 verses, let alone getting through 100 verses. So at one sitting at any rate at this point. But we have beloved. It starts out with, if you ever can identify what exclamation point means, this would be a good word. Beloved, listen up. Listen now, beloved. Behold. So behold, I should say, not beloved, behold. Behold what? Behold what manner of love. Now, think of scope or content or the overwhelming thing, put it all together. How much love does this represent? Behold what manner of love. We're talking about divine, holy, world, believing, and so forth. That's all wrapped up in this. Behold what manner of love the Father has given or bestowed on us, that we, what, should be called children of God. Think of that word, children of God. Now, we can look at children of our earthly father and the children of our earthly mother, and we who have children can look at those children of ours, and there's a special love there that God puts in there, isn't there? But here we are called children not of man, we're called children of God. So our father, every believer's father, is God. Children of God. We read how that happens, or when it happens, so to speak, in John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them what? He gave the right to what? To become. So when you have to become, that means that there's something that wasn't there before. We become children of God. We were not always children of God. An unbeliever is not a child of God. But when we believe, when we become a believer, we what? Become a child of God, is what that verse says there. Amazing verse, isn't it? But as many as we received him, to them he gave the right to become. Who gives the right? He does. He gives the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. Wonderful verse, John 1:12, as we know. But that we should be called children of them, therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. So if you at times think, I don't know why the world hates me so much, and that's when you are being hated because you're demonstrating the love of Christ, not because you're being a jerk, you know. But yes, the world hates him, therefore it hates us. He told the disciples in John 15, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. But all these things they will do to you for my sake, because they do not know him who sent me. So verse 2, repeating again, not really behold, but now we have the emphatic, beloved. Yeah. Now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed, what we shall be. So whenever you read a book or something other that tells you, I went to heaven and this is what it was like and this is what I became and all this other stuff, it kind of, not what the Bible says, it has not yet been revealed. He hasn't told us yet, but he does give us the clue here. We know that when we don't know, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. Romans 8:29 reads, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. Haven't seen him yet in full, but we will. We'll be with him. And everyone who has this hope in him, everyone who has, that means a present and continuing hope, active hope, who has this continual hope in him, purifies, again, it's a continual, purifies himself, just as he is pure. Next chapter, we'll get into this verse in 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So there is a tie back there into where we are right now. And how do we look at what that's like? We look at what he was like in his three and a half years here on earth as a man. So watching for the return of our Lord is a purifying force for us. And therefore, if it is for us, it's for the church. It has a purifying effect. Father, as we read these verses, they are so quick to just pass through and we get a little bit of it, but help us to get more of it, Lord, and as we contemplate and as we these come to mind, and let us dig into it a little bit more as we open your word and just ponder over it with you. Now this morning we have a few moments to pray and to respond as we ought and want to through your Spirit. So guide us and lead us as we bring whatever you put on our hearts in accordance with your will, your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's move toward the close with just listening to this song, very familiar song to all of us, The Love of God.
Greater far than
Well, Father, we do thank you. Even a song is totally inadequate to express your great love to us, but it is beautiful to sing to you. And we do thank you for your magnificent love, Lord. Be with each one as we go, Lord, and wherever we are, may we just honor you today and shine your glory and the light shining forth through us through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.